Good morning. I want to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to prepare a lesson. I want to thank Roger. I know Roger's not here this morning. He's out traveling with his family. He was able to swap with me last Sunday. It was supposed to be mine last month, but we swapped Sundays because I was finishing up work, and it just helped out so much more to be able to take this Sunday, which worked out because he's out traveling. So we kind of helped each other out a little bit. So I want to thank Abe for his wonderful lesson on retirement. Abe does let me get to pick the title sometimes, and sometimes I feel bad because I'm like, I don't know, is this too confusing? Did I pick something that's not going to work or make sense with everything? So we are going to talk about a few things, but I thought this morning I would mention that it is Emma's birthday. Emma does turn 2 today, and so does Denali, and I wish I had a picture of both of them. I didn't realize Kayla was going to be here this morning, but they both born on the same day, exactly a year apart from each other. So it is Emma's birthday, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Emma later. But we did, Abe kind of came together, and we did think about this lesson on retirement. You know, Abe had mentioned, there's the word retirement can be used for multiple things. I am going to talk about something a little bit different this morning. Abe gave us the definition of what retirement meant, and it does mean retirement of an object, or we think of retirement when laying things aside. You know, I've always joked around because my dad's in banking. I've had a retirement ever since I was 15. And now I'm serious. I have. I have accounts that I've set up ever since I was 15. And that's why I make the joke about I don't know what Jenna's going to do. My stuff's set up. I don't know what she's... But, as you know, that's just kind of a joke. She's always got a place. Right? I'm going to talk about marriage here in a little bit. So... So with retirement, I have this thought today. One of the definitions with retirement that Abe gave was kind of retiring an object. Well, I want to talk about I'm retiring my old Bible today. My Bible. I am putting this on a shelf after today. This Bible, as you can see, is falling apart. I think about this Bible. It didn't used to look like this. It actually was red. Right, and now it's kind of burgundy. I even think about when I got this Bible. My dad actually bought me this Bible. We were on vacation. I forget where we were staying one evening, and I think it was in a hotel that was kind of shaped like a riverboat. And down from the hotel, there was a little shopping strip, and there was like a Books a Million. And I was needing a new Bible, and my dad purchased this for me. We didn't write anything. I really wish we did write, you know, the date and everything that it was purchased. I think about that because I'm thinking that I got this Bible about 17 years ago, and it has served me well. I've done a lot of things with this Bible. Like I said, I got it on a trip, worn on some sides. My bookmarker started falling apart, so I actually braided it so it wouldn't unravel on me. The spine of the book is completely broken. I'm missing Timothy, and some other pages are not connected anymore. I thought this was bad until Wednesday night I looked at Pam's. Pam's got to follow after this one. I think half a Genesis is all individual sheets. But I know that we love these. And one of the parts with these, my mom actually even had her Bible completely redone so she didn't have to retire it. She actually took it to a bookbinding place and they actually rebound the entire Bible. So we get attached to them because I know where every verse that I have studied is where it's at. And I kind of have this piece highlighted here. You can see where I kept my hand and my thumb right here in that space. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. You can see on the back where it's been creased. Because I keep my hand in a specific place. And it might make sense because that's the New Testament right there. Where my thumb is right there is the New Testament. Of course, my Bible was in the need of repair. So, of course, I needed a new one. So Jenna did purchase me a new one. This one has got my name on it. So now when I leave it here, everybody knows this one's mine. So this is my new Bible. And it really had me thinking about what are things that happened in my lifetime while I've used this Bible. Before I put it up on a shelf today, before it goes up on a shelf right now, another Bible that's in worse condition than this one, before I put it up on a shelf, what were some of the things that happened in my lifetime of just owning this Bible? So one of the things that has happened is I actually started preaching. Within my lifetime of having this, I went from, you know, helping out on Wednesday evenings and things like that, all the way to standing up before an audience and preaching. And I think of these verses when I get up and preach. I think of Mark 16 and 15. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And also, here's my concern with this too. 2 John in 10. "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him." I think of verses often before I put a lesson together. I need to make sure that I'm studying this, that I'm focused on this, and that I'm preparing something that is meaningful for everyone. Because if I preach something else, it even says not to even receive him. So I want to make sure that when I put lessons together, they are what is true and what is right. And a lot of that came from studying this Bible. Also, another thing that happened in my lifetime is I met Jenna Smith. Now, there is a lot of jokes between Jenna's real last name was Smith and now it's Jones. Now, there is a lot of jokes that go along with that, right? So I met Jenna, and as you guys know, Jenna came from a different background than I did. So we studied a lot. We studied a lot. I even think we got into some pretty big arguments when Abe was up there preaching. And I kept thinking Abe's just going to come down and tell us to stop. But we studied a lot together. And for the next rest of the lesson, I just have pieces of those things we studied. And we studied solid 6 years. So it's hard to put 6 years into one lesson. So a lot of the thoughts that I have today literally are thought, and we're going to move on and move on. They're just going to be things that Jenna and I studied for a long time. So the verses that I have are just snippets of a much larger study that we did. Well, one of the first things that Jenna and I studied, of course, was the singing and use of musical instruments. So I just want to touch on some verses, and then we'll just kind of keep moving along. So in Ephesians 5 and 19, it says, "Speaking to one another in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16 through 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in wisdom, teaching and admonishing and one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with a grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Also, Hebrews 2:12, it says, "I declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you." So we studied that in depth. Like I said, these are just three quick verses of a study. Actually, Gary Mobley put together an amazing lesson that I use quite often on this topic. And it's, you know, this thick. So you can imagine those verses, they go a lot further than that. Another thing we studied a lot was communion. So when we studied communion, here's just some verses that we looked at. Now, the importance of communion, we've already kind of discussed this morning about what the two elements mean, but let's actually talk about what we do during communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks the judgment to himself, not discerning it, the Lord's body." So we have a warning there about communion. Also, another thing about something we do even during services to keep in mind. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 34, it says, "But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. For the rest I will set in order when I come." So we have these warnings about communion. These verses are there together in 1 Corinthians. Another thing we studied quite in depth was baptism. So in just a couple verses about baptism, in 1 Peter 3 and 21 it says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth from the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Also in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Another thing we studied quite in depth was women's roles during services. Now, I put during services, and this is a huge study. I'm just going to have one verse, but this is a large study. 1 Corinthians 14, 33-35 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and it is in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as law also saying, for if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." Now, like I mentioned before, this is a large, in-depth study. I'm picking one verse just to bring out the verses of what Jen and I study together. Because when we talk about these pieces, there's another piece that all ties into this, is authority. Now, with authority, with the other pieces we're talking about, is Matthew 28 and 18. And it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So some of the things that we would talk about, it would normally come down to authority. What should we do with authority? Can we do this? Can we make this decision? I don't know. Do we have the authority to make that? Because Jesus has all of the authority. Another thing we studied was tithing. So I just want to bring up this passage real quick. In 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, it says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders to the churches at Galatia, so you must do also, that on the first day of the week, each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." So with that verse, we can see that there wasn't given an exact amount. With tithing, it just has us lay something aside as we've been prospered. So it's just something to think about as Jenna and I study this. This was a verse that helped us out. So after about 6 years of studying, we finally decided to get married, right? So all of those pieces were big pieces we studied. I'd say we studied each of those for, I'd say, a year, or if not more. Right, so it's kind of hard to dwindle it down to just a couple verses. So Jen and I did get married back in 2000, and I just about said, 2010. I had to think about that real quick. Feels like it was just yesterday, right? So we got married, and that brought on a whole other amount of things. Now, not bad things, but great things. Now that we were married, we needed to follow what the Bible has set aside for marriage. So I thought I would just read Ephesians 5:22-33. Now, this to me shows the importance of marriage. With this, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." To me, verse 25 is extremely impactful. To think that Christ came and died on the cross, and that love he had for the church is the same as what husbands should have for their wives. And in verse 26 it says, "that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. But just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, for his flesh and for his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So to me, through those verses, it's coming together and working together. Now, when we got married, these were the things that we really cherished each other, right? Respecting each other, loving for one another, and running our homes together. Now, after we got married, Jen and I had the opportunity, back up a bit. So I don't know if a lot of people know this story, but I think it was about 6 months after we were married, the doctors told Jenna that she had lymphoma. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that was quite an earth-shattering thing to have happened. She went through a lot of tests. She still has a lot of scars from this. You know, and just after being married and having this happen, this was pretty upsetting. But as you guys know, she went back to the doctor. She went to specialists. This took about 6 months. And then we found out that she didn't have it. She actually just had a very common illness that just caused nodules on your lungs to swell up and go away after about 6 months. So it turned out to be nothing, but it was quite an issue. Now, I believe it turned out to be nothing because we did pray a lot. We did come together. I know that a lot of people here have been through sicknesses, and I've seen the power of prayer be amazing here in this congregation with some of the things that have happened with sickness. You know, but when I think of this Bible and before I retire, you know, this was some of the verses that I would read when we thought Jenna was diagnosed with this. And I think of this. Here in James 5 and 14 through 16, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So to me, that's extremely impactful. You know, there's been a lot of illnesses and sicknesses here. You know, I even think of other members of the church that are friends of ours that don't attend here at Waynesville, but other friends that have that these things have happened. I think of Brother Pugh, some of the things that have happened to him, and, you know, he had cancer and now he doesn't. There's just some amazing things that have happened. So with that, with the sicknesses and everything, that was something that we were able to overcome. And I believe we are able to overcome it by the words of the Lord here. Now, as I kind of started before, Jen and I had the opportunity to do a lot of traveling while we were married, and during the time frame that I had this Bible. Some of the things we got to do, we traveled all over the United States. We'd go out and see Kayla while she was living out in Wyoming. We got to go to a lot of churches and do a lot of services at other places. But there's nothing to me more impactful than visiting a church from a third world country. That was quite impactful. I know that Cody has had the opportunity to do this, and I know that Abe and Cody is going to have an opportunity coming up again to do this. But Jen and I had the opportunity to visit a church offside the coast of Colombia down in South America that was a third world country. And I think of how uplifting it was to visit a church down there. So I thought of this verse in 1 Corinthians, and I don't have the chapter there, but in verse 58 it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I've thought of this quite a bit, because as we visited this little church here in Bon Air, it was real impactful to see the work that was happening there. It's very common here in this country that adults don't go to services, but you want to get kids to services. So 99% of the church was 15 and below. And there was a lot of people there, but they were 15 and below. I recorded the singing there because all of the songs were for kids. It was, and they speak in a language called Papamento, which is the native language, which was really nice. The preacher here was from Tennessee, by the way. So he was able to speak our language. I had to do a little bit of translating, but it was okay. We were able to study with them, to sing some of their songs and all that kind of stuff with them there in Bon Air. But one of the things that impacted me from this trip is the name on the church sign. It does say Church of Christ, but in Papamento, it basically says, "This belongs to Christ." And it was funny that the preacher there, he's like, you know, he didn't grow up in the Church of Christ, by the way. But he said it really was impactful to see when that sign was put up over the church in the native language. It shows ownership. And he was like, oh, I never even thought of that. Because we are called the Church of Christ. We are Christ's church. And he said it never hit him until it was translated in that native language that it doesn't really say Church of Christ. It says this belongs to Christ. Because they didn't have a word for translating it into our language. And it was just really impactful to think of that. To think of the work that's being done there and how uplifting this was. Also, during the lifetime of this Bible, before it gets retired, I went through several jobs. Three jobs. They've all been in the same district. So. But there's been some verses that I've recently read that really impact me. I just want to say how thankful I am that God's given me the opportunity to provide for my family and be able to set things aside. So I just wanted to mention this verse when I read it. You know, this is a real impactful verse. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own family, and especially for those in his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Wow, that is impactful. You know, I've thought about this, and I thought about how much God has blessed me in order to work and be able to provide for my family. So with the job change, things that have happened in my career, God has always helped me be able to provide for my family. Also, one of the biggest things that happened throughout this Bible's history before it's retired is Emma, right? So when Emma came along, there was a lot of things that I have studied and read about. You know, I think of Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, I think of that verse a lot. And then also in Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You know, sometimes it's hard not to get Emma aggravated at you because it's a lot of fun. But I don't think this is quite what that's saying. I think of these verses a lot because here is Emma a year ago, and here's her today. This is a year. This is a year. And I think of these verses, am I doing what I need to right now? Or am I going to look back 16 years and be like, oh man, I should have done something here, right? I should have been helping to train up and lead in the way, you know, with admonition then. You know, so I have been thinking about this a lot. You know, these are some verses that, you know, have really stood out from me, and I think I can point right to where they are here in my Bible. Now with my new Bible, it doesn't feel the same. I have to, like, search for stuff. So when we talk about this retirement, I kind of want to bring it back to what Christ did. So we have our old law and our new law, and I kind of want to point out, as Abe pointed out, that Jesus retired the old law. I want to take a look at a verse here in Matthew 5:17-18. Now, this verse might not be a verse that I would normally use to point out this, to bring this point. But I just wanted to use one verse. And this verse says in Matthew 5:17-18 says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law, but for the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but fulfill it. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not a jot or tittle by no means pass away from the law till it is fulfilled." And we know that Jesus fulfilled that old law, right? Bringing in the new law. So in a sense, that was retired. They were told not to follow that anymore. So when I think of, I'm retiring this physical book. So this physical book, I can't throw it away. It's going on a shelf. So, I'm going to retire this old book, but God's Word is not something that will retire. You know, God's Word will never grow old and never dull. And this verse to me, I love this verse because I've studied with people and I have seen it hit people. I've seen that reaction on their face when they've read a verse. And it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, I've studied with people, and you can see them when they come to a certain realization. I even study myself, and I come to a realization of something, and I'm like, wow, oof. Right? And I think of this verse. I think that it is so powerful. And the more I study, the more I learn, and the more I study, the more I realize that I don't know, that I need to study more. And I think of about how God's word will never dull and it'll never go away. But I can dull, so I need to stay sharp. So in Romans 14 and 12 it says, "So then each of us shall give an account to himself to God." So going along with all of the other verses that we've studied, I need to make sure that I can give myself an account. Also in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So I need to make sure that I'm doing what's right. I need to make sure that I'm staying sharp, because I'm going to be giving account for this. So as I was thinking about this lesson and putting this together, here's the case that my new Bible came in. So, you know, this is just the case that this Bible came in, but you can kind of see up here in this top corner, there's a little symbol up here. And it's the same symbol that my other Bible had, and it said that it was guaranteed for life. And I've thought about that quite a bit. Also, one of the things that I found interesting in this new Bible, it has a place to write my children and grandchildren's name in it. So they really think that this, you know, was built for life. And maybe it is. Maybe this Bible, because I do use my iPad, my phone quite a bit to research stuff, so maybe I will use this for the rest of my life. But really, this physical book is not what's important for the rest of my life. It's the words that are in it. That's what's guaranteed for life. And that those words are guaranteed for a life. So even though that's printed on here, I just have a feeling that that's not true. If anybody is interested, I have about 40 years before I can retire, right? If we're talking about real retirement, I'm 32, and they keep changing the retirement age, so I'm going to guess that I have 40 years before I can retire. That will this last 40 years? I know the words in it will. So that's just a thought that I have this morning. I'd like to thank Abe for going along with my retirement ideas this morning. But are you ready to give an account to God? If not, you can come forward as we stand and sing. They're closing.